TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
They don't know if it's the right decision to keep going, to shut down the season in the middle of February again, to go without real tangible results from the previous five that they went to. But more importantly, in terms of a business decision, if the International Olympic Committee does not come up with the costs to pay for the players' travel and the insurance and all of that stuff, then Bettman basically said it's a non-starter.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm rapidly approaching the NHL and their participation in the Olympics as being one of those topics on the show that we just ban as a topic. Like the Arizona Coyotes relocation, I think it's been officially banned from the show. Make up your minds already when it comes to this Olympic participation. It's driving me crazy. I can't stand talking about it much more. And fortunately, they expect that they have to have an answer by January. So hopefully by then, They'll either go to South Korea, they'll get off the can, as the expression goes.
Yeah, and Drew, and you know how I feel. I would like to see the NHL participate in the Olympics, but if they don't, all I'm saying is that they need to change the format of the World Cup. In my opinion, I think you got to go back to just countries. Get rid of Team North America and Team Europe. I realize that, you know, Team North America was very exciting, but who really cared about Canada versus Team Europe in the final?
Nobody. Who cared about the entire World Cup?
If you're going to scrap NHLers going to the Olympics and you're going to bring back the Canadian national team or, you know, guys under 25 playing for Team Canada, just change the World Cup format. Make it meaningful.
I honestly hope they don't go to South Korea, and I'll tell you why.
Are you going to go to South Korea?
I wasn't planning on it. Unless somebody's offering to pay for me to go there, it's a bit of a long flight.
Apparently, it's a beautiful country.
I'm sure it's quite lovely, but I wasn't necessarily planning on making the trip there. I hope they don't go to South Korea so that they can get into a big pissing match with their superstars in the league. When Alex Ovechkin up and leaves the Washington Capitals.
Leontes has already said he's going to support him.
Great. But, I mean, and then you'll see other. I mean, once one guy goes, there'll be a trickle-down effect.
I don't know.
I hope they get into a fight with their players. I hope that they get into a fight because they're so. I know that they. What do we get about it? What do we get out of it?
Drew, I heard that off the top, all I heard was this: money, 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 money. That's it. That's all it is. I mean, let's be realistic. It's like, and the fact of the matter is, how much money does this league make? And they're like the whole point about the Olympics is that it's supposed to be for amateur, like not really like. Professional,
sure.
You know, I mean, obviously they're professionals and they train, but that's really like their sole focus. And then you have these professional hockey players. Like, I don't know, maybe they need to go back to the whole idea of like amateur teams.
I think it was Scott Burnside on ESPN.com published a "What would the U.S. and Canada rosters look like if the NHLers don't go?" Mm-hmm. Holy hell, it's unwatchable. The guys that they listed are guys that I've never heard of. These are guys, you know, who are fringe players in you know the KHL or you know guys who are at the absolute end of their professional hockey career, and sure it would be a great experience for them to go be able to play in the Olympic game representing Canada or anything. But all due respect, I don't really want to watch Mike Sillinger play hockey at this point in time. It's going to be awful. It's going to be unwatchable.
But is Mike Sillinger still playing hockey?
It was guys like that. I don't know if Mike Sillinger.
I'm pretty sure Mike Sillinger retired a long time ago.
Well,
Drew.
I'll tell you what. I'll pull up the list right now, and you tell me if you want to watch these guys, you know, represent Canada, or represent the United States.
No. The whole point is, if the NHL doesn't participate, I suspect most NHL fans aren't going to watch the Olympics. I mean, and I don't know that the NHL is going to cry over, you know, the Olympics hockey not getting the viewership that it was getting when the NHL was participating.
Mike Sillinger has not played since 2009.
Okay, well, fine. It wasn't Mike Sillinger, but here's the guys who would be playing for Team Canada. This is based on, Scott Burnside, I was right. So here are the guys who could possibly play for Team Canada in the Olympics. Ben Scrivens. Okay, well, I've heard of Ben Scrivens. That's fine. I don't necessarily think he's an Olympic goaltender, but Ben Scrivens.
All right.
Danny Taylor. Barry Bruce. Chris Lee, Marc-Andre Gragnani on defense, Kevin Dahlman, Che Genoway. I mean, this is not hockey. Nobody wants to watch these guys play hockey. All due respect to them, and I'm sure it would be a thrill for them to be able to play for Team Canada.
But the question would be to me is who was on the Canadian team before the NHL? Like the year before, what was the first year?
Well, they used to have the Canadian national team.
Yeah,
if you remember?
It used to be a formal Canadian national team. But, you know, guys like Rob Klinkhammer, Gilbert Brulé.
Che Genoway's from Manitoba, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, good for Che. I hope he does get to play in the Olympics. But I'm not waking up at 2:30 in the morning to watch it from South Korea. Because that's not a best... If the Olympics are a best-on-best competition, and they supposedly are in at least all the other sports...
Well, I mean, look, in theory... I mean, look, it's always possible you just take the next 8 years off and then just start participating when it's back in North America.
But they're such hypocrites. They don't want to take 8 years off. They only want to take 4 years off because they want to go to – they want to be in Beijing for the 2022 Winter Olympics. Yeah, so they want to – I mean, they want to – well, South Korea isn't really in our demographic.
I can tell you. I've been to Beijing, and I just want to say that.
Yeah, we know.
No, but I'm just saying, like, time-wise, you're still really in the same sort of vicinity. I mean, it's not like you're saying you're not talking about like a different. It's not like you're being like, okay, this is, you know, one's 10 hours away and the other one's 40 hours. Like, you know, like time wise, it's essentially the same thing.
That's what I said on the show a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I said that, you know, if you're desperate to tap into the Asian market and you want to grow your game in Asia, which I get completely, I totally understand that. Last time I checked, South Korea was in Asia,
and they're a huge consumer of American culture, for the
record. Huge consumer of American culture. And then China, Beijing, is a lot closer to South Korea than, say, Canada is to South Korea. So you don't think they're going to watch in Beijing, or they're going to watch in Shanghai, or they're going to watch in China when the Olympics are happening, you know, an arm's length away, and then they're going to be in their own country 4 years later? I think that not going to South Korea, or I think the assumption that just because it's in South Korea, it won't have any reach in China, is so short-sighted and... They're just so stupid.
I told you this multiple times this year already, Drew, that I think the NHL is going to go to the Olympics. And I think Wayne Gretzky speaking about it yesterday, and he wasn't just saying that he personally enjoyed his Olympic experiences. He was saying that I think it also benefits the other athletes at the games, right? Having the NHL players there. And I think it's clear, guys, why the NHL should go to the Olympics. I mean... having the best players in the world at the Olympics makes it a better competition. I don't think anybody's going to say that they'd rather see Marc-Andre Gragnani over Drew Doughty, Drew. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the Olympics would be better with NHL players. But all I'm saying is if the NHL decides that they don't want to release their players for the Winter Olympics, then you have to make the World Cup of Hockey an actual best-on-best international competition. In my opinion, as a hockey fan, and I've said this before, you know, I'm a Canada Cup traditionalist maybe, but I want to see the best countries in the world with their best players. I don't want to see Connor McDavid or Nolan Patrick playing for Team North America. I don't want to see Patrick Laine playing for Team Europe. I want to see them playing for their countries. I want to see a tournament where we're really seeing who is the best hockey nation in the world. North America is not a hockey nation. Europe is not a hockey nation. Europe is a continent. I don't want to see a continent in an international competition. So if they're not going to go to the Olympics, let's make the World Cup of Hockey an 8-team, best-on-best country format. And if you want to have a play-in where, you know, 6 countries get in based on their IIHF rankings, fine. And then you have a play-in with, you know, the teams like Denmark and Germany and, you know, Slovakia, whoever.
I agree wholeheartedly with you.
They got to scrap this Team North America, Team Europe idea.
Well, you either go to the Olympics in 2018 and then you go every 4 years, or you don't go at all.
Right.
That's as far as I'm concerned. It's enough about this nonsense with some years yes, some years no.
Yeah, no, you can't just decide, okay, we're going to sit this one out because it's just not convenient for us, and then we're going to come back in 8 years, and that'll work better for us.
Just come out and say it's all about the money. All we want is as much money as humanly possible.
And they didn't
for our
make
owners,
as much money as they thought they were, by the way.
In the World Cup.
Right.
Right. All, honestly, if they came out and said, we're not going to the Olympics anymore because we don't make money from it, we're going to have a international calendar featuring, you know, the World Cup, featuring whatever that Ryder Cup style tournament nonsense
is. Again, I don't need that.
I don't know what that is. Are they hockey players golfing?
Yeah. I have a World Cup of Hockey that mirrors the World Cup of Soccer. Can you imagine if they put in a Team North America into the World Cup of Soccer, what soccer fans would think of that?
It would be crap.
It's ridiculous.
It would be crap. So I have no problem. Just come out if you want to abandon the Olympics. You were there, but you never went to the Olympics before 98 and the Olympics survived. If you're the NHL and you say we only want a tournament that's going to make money for ourselves, at least be honest about it. Just be honest about it, and I won't say another word. I'll say all the power to you. I hope you charge people in Toronto $5,000 per game. If they're going to pay it, they're dumb as hell, but good luck to them.
Right. Don't make it about the, you know, the upcoming CBA or extending the CBA. Just decide to go or not.
Exactly. That's all I want. That's all I want. I don't think it's too much from a sports fan. The hypocrisy and the nonsense about everything else is just noise.
I'm pretty sure the IOC and the International Ice Hockey Federation, the NHL, they can scrape together, you know, $10 million.
I don't really care how you do it. Just don't come to some Olympics and then other Olympics. Because you know what? I'll tell you what. You know who'll be the number one biggest fan of the World Cup of Hockey if it happens every 4 years and it only has countries involved in it? I will. I didn't watch this last World Cup because it was absolute garbage based on your Team North America. And
again,
Europe,
you know, I don't want to sound like the old man who's saying that, you know, the World Cup of Hockey wasn't exciting because Team North America was exciting. But again, and you know, maybe we'll get some action going on our Twitter feed here, but you can't tell me that Canada-Europe final had any feel of the Canada-US gold medal game in 2010 in Vancouver. I mean, nobody cared.
No, it's a manufactured tournament. I mean, really, it's not. And it doesn't have the same cachet as, like, the Canada Cups back in the day.
No, because the Canada Cups are unique because you never saw the Russian players.
That's right. But I'm just saying, like, it's just a different, like, this felt very gimmicky. The whole World Cup felt like a gimmick. And so, like, I'm with you, Drew. Like, I really was completely indifferent to it. I mean, yeah, I caught a period here or there. But for the most part, I was just, like, completely.
Like, maybe if you think Canada was steamrolling the competition too much, have two Team Canadas then.
Well, if you're going to be gimmicky. But just enough with this. Some Olympics, yes. Some Olympics, no.
That's all. No, I mean, it's just a money situation. That's pure and simple.
That's enough already. Carey Price.
Sorry,
I was going to go to the break. But if you have something else.
I was just going to say, we brought it up earlier, but I think like the whole Ovechkin going, regardless of whether the NHL says they're participating, to your point, Drew, could cause a cavalcade of other players to do similarly.
And that's why I think they're going to go. Because I think there's going to be the pressure from the NHLPA to go.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think that this is, you know, the hill that they should choose to die on, so to speak, as far as not going to the Olympics because the owners don't want to shut it down and all of that. You don't think that, you know, the players want to go?
I think
you don't think that the players want to go, just listen to what Wayne Gretzky says about the Olympics. Listen to what Sidney Crosby says about the Olympics. They want to go.
We shouldn't listen to Wayne Gretzky. He doesn't know enough. Is what the message
is. Just the best player in the ever.
Is what the NHL message is year in, year out. Is that I hope they don't go. Get into a fight with your players. Have World War III. Have another lockout. Have another strike. I mean, come on.
God help us.
They're gonna. There's no reason to think the owners are ever going to come and try and make an agreement for the best interests of the game.
They better not have another lockout because I can't break down the NBA like we did 5 years ago.
Well, DeMar DeRozan's playing well now, at least for you.
That is true. We could just say DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, it could just be 3 hours of us saying DeMar DeRozan over and over again.
It worked for Ezzy and I once on the big show, so anything is possible.
Carey Price, he took matters into his own hands on Thursday night. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
That seems to be the nature of the league now. Is throw the net, run the goalie over, and score a goal. You just gotta stick up for yourself every once in a while. I agree with the call, though. I think it was a goal. I think it was on its way in. But I also think that it sure should have been a goalie interference call after the fact.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN 1290. Reminder, the Jets and the Calgary Flames. It's a 9 p.m. puck drop here tonight on TSN 1290. Drink your coffee. Stay up late for the Jets and the Flames. Late for some people. Maybe not for you guys.
We've been doing all these late night NHL This Week shows, Drew, it's not so late for us.
Not so late anymore. You can burn the midnight oil. Yep. Should mention this segment of the show brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. If you're looking for a place to watch tonight's game between the Jets and the Flames, Bernstein's Deli will have it on their large big screen TVs, some great drink specials. Check it out, bernsteinsdeli.com in the Cordon Village Mall. Carey Price, Got a little bit of the fire in his belly.
Yeah, he was going after a few of my devils.
Yeah. Kyle Palmieri, the subject of some of Carey Price's ire, as they say, on Thursday. You know, Price laying in some blocker shots, laying in some good punches on a prone Devils player after he was run, in his mind, one too many times. So, is Carey Price right? Is it open season on goaltenders, or is this just a bizarre sort of case of Carey Price lashing out where you didn't really expect it to happen?
I would say probably the latter, Drew. And, you know, we were at the Jets game, so I didn't watch the Habs-Devils game, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, I just saw the highlights. But if you actually look at the play that really set Carey Price off, Dave, it was Kyle Palmieri actually being pushed into Carey Price by the Habs defenseman. So Kyle Palmieri, I wouldn't say ran Carey Price. Apparently earlier in the game, Carey Price was being run a little bit by some of the other Devils. I'm not sure which one of the Devils earlier in the game it was, because I just saw the highlights on TV. But certainly Carey Price isn't a guy that you expect to go all Ron Hextall very often, right? So, I mean, he got a match penalty on the play. He's not going to be suspended. To me, Carey Price, you know, and his reaction to Kyle Palmieri and the Devils, you know, maybe getting into his grill a little bit too much. You remember, guys, back in the playoffs and Chris Kreider running into Carey Price, and Carey Price was knocked out of the playoffs. I mean, to me, that's what Carey Price is thinking. I think he's having flashbacks of when Kreider, which is kind of ironic because, you know, Kreider was playing the Jets that same night.
Sure.
But I don't think that Carey Price was liking it. I think he reacted. As we know, hockey, you know, is one of those emotional sports. You know, people make kind of, you know, snap decisions sometimes, and he did snap. But again, I wouldn't, you know, get too excited about this, because Carey Price, you know, isn't the type of guy that does this very often. He's, as we know, the best goaltender in the game. So he got a little bit emotional, Dave. You know, he got the blocker on Kyle Palmieri a few times.
It's on the screen. You know, right there on the screen in the studio.
Yeah, he was punching Kyle Palmieri with his glove. And again, like I said, he got a penalty. He's not going to be suspended. I think we move on.
You know what? It's funny. The punches weren't even that bad. I mean, if you think about it, it's not like he was like they were body blows. I mean,
and it's hockey. I mean,
I'm not an MMA
guy. This
type
of stuff happens, Dave.
They seem fairly inconsequential.
It wasn't a rear naked chokehold or something there.
Sure, yeah. Whatever that means. Yeah. But anyways, I don't know. I don't know. I'm with you, Ez. I think he was simply having a flashback to what happened to him in the playoffs against the Rangers, and he just snapped. And, you know, with good reason, to be honest with you. Like, because a guy like Carey Price, who's played so well, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a lot to have, you know, sustain an injury when a guy runs you. Now, you're right. He got pushed, you know, the Devils guy, Palmieri, was pushed into him. But, you know, in Price's, hockey's a fast game. And it's very, as you said, you can be very reactionary. And all Carey Price sees is guy runs him, takes him out, very similar to what happened against the Rangers, and he goes down and he gets pissed and he, you know, turns on him and again, it wasn't like he was punching him in the head repeatedly. I mean, Palmieri, to his credit, he just kind of turtled. He just kind of took it. So he wasn't like trying to attack Price or anything like that. So Price definitely overreacted, but I think it's somewhat justified based on his history.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't mind it. I like watching a goalie get a little fired up. And, you know, Carey Price wants the same protection that, you know, because you could argue he's certainly the most important player of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
And you could easily say he's probably one of the top five players in the league. Skaters, goalies, well,
He won the Hart Trophy 2 years ago, so you could argue that he's number one.
Sure. You could certainly, you know, I'd listen to that argument. So he wants the same protection that would be afforded to a skater. And, you know, he feels that goalies, him in particular, don't get the same levels of protection. And maybe it's changed in his career. They don't get as well protected as they did a couple of years back. And he's going to say, you know what, unless the NHL cracks down on it, this is going to be my response. So somebody's going to think twice before they come crashing into the blue paint.
Yeah, I agree, Drew. I have no problem with a goaltender protecting his crease. So if you're going to get in there and you're going to run him, or, you know, you're going to back up into him or cross-check him or whatever, I have no problem with a goaltender shoving back. I mean, mm-hmm. In this case, I mean, Carey Price, you can't punch a player when he's down on the ice with your blocker. I mean, you can't do that. And again, he got a match penalty. I didn't think he should have been ejected.
I don't believe he got a match penalty.
He did.
I thought he only got a double minor. I have to double check that right now.
I thought it was a match penalty.
No, I'm pretty sure that he avoided the match penalty, and he was only penalized the double minor for the blocker shots.
But he still got 4 minutes, right?
But you can make the argument he should have got a match penalty.
Sure. So, but regardless if he got 4 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it was, Drew, I don't think that this is something
double
that
minor. We'll, that's all he got.
Sure. Okay. You're right.
Palmieri got goaltender interference.
Okay.
Carey Price got a double minor for roughing. The exact same play. The rules do say that a goaltender who uses his blocker as a weapon is subject to potentially receiving a match penalty. Makes you wonder what he would need to do to get that match penalty if that wasn't deserving of it.
See, when it was still part of his arm, it was all one unit. If he took it off and used it as a weapon,
if he swung like a steel chair in a, yes. in a wrestling match,
yes.
it would have been a match penalty at that point, is what you're saying.
I mean, again, unless there's more to it than what we saw on the video, I didn't think it was so egregious that it required anything more than what he got.
No, I don't think it. I don't think it was deserving of a match penalty. I'm not advocating for it. I'm saying that he did take a bit of a risk, and we'll talk to Pat Hickey about it coming up in the last hour. You know, he covers the Habs. We'll talk to Pat Hickey about this and about the injuries the Habs have suffered. But, you know, it is interesting that his frustration boiled over so much that in the heat of the moment, rather than skating away, which you so often see goalies doing and letting their teammates come to their defense, Carey Price decided to get a few licks in on his own and was only penalized the extra 2 minutes as a result.
Right, and now maybe players will think twice about entering Carey Price's.
Well, that's just the thing. Again, you know, hockey is the type of game that, you know, you have those split second reactions to what's going on the ice. And again, I didn't see the whole game, so I'm assuming that some of the Devils were running him a little bit earlier in the game because, again, Kyle Palmieri actually was pushed in. If you look at the replay, mm-hmm. he's pushed in by the Habs defenseman there. I don't think you would call that a run at a goalie. Certainly Kyle Palmieri is more of an offensive guy. He's not a guy that is known for going after goalies. So, you know, I mean, he might have overreacted a little bit and thrown some blocker punches.
Well, what Price was upset was the Devils' first goal of the game. P.A. Parenteau, sort of hit Carey Price in the crease.
Right.
The Habs challenged based on goaltender interference. The refs ruled that the puck was already behind Carey Price and pretty much in the net before Parenteau made his contact. But Price got knocked over on that goal, and then later in that same period, he gets knocked over again, and that's what causes him to lash out and deliver the body blows to Palmieri.
Right, so emotions are boiling over, right, Drew?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen that time and time again. We've seen Buff here in Winnipeg, you know, sometimes get upset with what's going on the ice. We've seen many players over the years, react maybe not in the way that they should, but it's hockey. And, again, you know, he gets a double minor. It's not like he does this, every game or even every season, and I wouldn't expect it to happen. But again, like Dave said, I mean, he's standing up for himself.
Tom Lynn, player agent, former assistant general manager for the Minnesota Wild. He joins us next. We'll talk to Tom about what's going on with the Vegas Golden Knights and more around the entire NHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're on the curve on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk with you. The Jets and the Calgary Flames tonight, 9 p.m. on this fine station. And then the Jets head to Edmonton for the second half of the back-to-back. They play the Oilers at 8:30 tomorrow night, a game available here on TSN 1290. And on TSN 3, we're working to get Tom Lynn, currently a player agent, former assistant general manager of the Minnesota Wild.
What's that, Drew?
We're getting Tom Lynn on the show momentarily. Rory working hard to do so.
I couldn't hear you there.
There you go. Yeah. Now you can hear me.
I kind of like that. You know, the music drowning you out there.
Yeah, most people would like just me to be drowned out, period.
We wouldn't drown you. We just want you to be drowned out.
I think some people might just want to drown me.
No, you're a really good swimmer. I've seen you do that dog paddle.
That's true.
It's tough to drown you.
I do have my gold medallion from back in my swimming days. We got Tom. Okay, let's go to the Hockey Show hotline there, Roar.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
He's a player agent with Veritas Hockey. He's the former assistant general manager of the Minnesota Wild. He's a good friend of ours. Tom Lynn, welcome back to the program.
Morning, guys.
How are you, Thomas?
You forgot father of six hockey players, though, so I just ran out of the rink to take the call.
Well, we appreciate that. Really? Father of six hockey players?
Yeah.
Wow. That must keep you busy.
Yeah, I bought a lot of equipment over the years, paid a lot of fees.
So, Tom, they obviously have good representation, right?
Well, I've been poking around. Just make a deal with Ben Hankinson and the Twin Cities to represent each other's kids, you know, just to avoid the conflict.
That's very reasonable of you. Tom, there was an interesting article in the National Post a couple weeks ago, and you were quoted in the article. Our good friend Michael Trakos wrote it about sort of the influx of Russian hockey players back into the NHL and back into junior hockey, you know, often on the heels of the success of Artemi Panarin, a client of yours with Veritas Hockey. You know, since Panarin has come over and made such an impact with the Chicago Blackhawks, what are you seeing different about Russian hockey players and their approach to the NHL? There was a while there where the KHL was sort of the thing for the Russian hockey players. Are you seeing that dissipating and the NHL and the CHL becoming more of a destination now than, say, earlier this decade?
Yeah. Well, first I got to tell you a quick story. When that article came out, someone translated it into Russian and posted it on a major Russian sports site, yet they didn't do it very well, and Nikita Zaitsev had a quote after me.
I think we may have just lost Tom there, so we're going to get Tom.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
I had my mute button there. I was so emphatic about this. But they translated that article into Russian. They did it poorly. So Nikita Zaitsev, who had the quote after me, they didn't differentiate. So they quoted me as saying the KHL is a second-rate league and I'd never go back play there. So apparently I was villain number one across the Russian hockeyscape last week for 5 days as the message boards and everything else lit up about this evil American agent. And I was backpedaling a bit. But that aside, the point I think I wanted to make, and it didn't come out as well in the article, is that the professional ranks come and go, this cycle. You've probably seen this since 2008, where a bunch of Russian players come over and then a bunch go back. It's back and forth. Somewhat dependent on the hockey, a lot dependent upon the economy, what's happening in Russia. This is the first time in the last, say, 18 months or so, I've seen a much larger influx of young Russians. I mean, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, coming over here to try to play AAA or junior, to earn junior spots in Canada or college spots in the U.S. This is a whole different ethic. This is no longer like a 23-year-old Panarin trying to jump to the NHL. It's parents at a younger age saying, I want my kid to experience the hockey and the education and the lifestyle, you know, the greater safety and security of North America. So this might represent a sea change in some ways.
You know, Tom, you mentioned, you know, some of the younger Russian players, not necessarily, you know, players in their 20s like Panarin and Nikita Zaitsev coming over, but as you mentioned, players that want to play AAA hockey. What does the Russian Ice Hockey Federation think of this? Are they upset with this? Are they trying to prevent this? What are they doing? How are they kind of, you know, dealing with Russian players wanting to come over and play in North America, whether that's in the USHL or major junior hockey?
Yeah, they haven't re-reacted to the latest thing yet. What happened earlier was, and you saw it in about 2008, was some high-end Russians were coming over here to play their draft year in major junior in order to get higher on the draft list. So the Russians responded in part by creating the MHL, their own super junior league, for lack of a better word, to do two things. Number one, to have them have an option there besides professional hockey to show themselves in their draft year. And number two, to have them sign little contracts to go in the MHL. It's kind of major junior does that here. Now, don't read the fine print sign at the bottom. And they actually control the players' rights for 4 years. And so that was how they first reacted to keep players from coming here. It's still going on, but the players coming here now are young enough that they haven't signed into the MHL yet. They're the players trying to come here. So I'm curious to see how the Russian side reacts. If, you know, it takes more than two or three, but if a dozen or so players go through the USHL or the BCHL and other triple leagues, go the NCAA or WHL routes, if they'll try to react in a more official capacity over the next year or so.
Tom, you wrote the book, How to Build an NHL Franchise from Scratch, the first era of the Minnesota Wild. What have you seen any sort of parallels between the way Minnesota came into fruition and started their team and now how Vegas is doing it with their team?
I'd say that the one is probably the general manager, in that Doug Risebrough, who was the first general manager of Minnesota, had a similar style to George McPhee. They're actually friends, and they've known each other for a long time. But their personalities and their kind of fastidious studying of decisions and just decision trees and stratagems before they move would be similar. It'll be hard to see more parallels until the hockey decisions start to get made. You know, when they first they can acquire free agents and then the expansion draft and the rest. But I would say that, you know, Kelly, the assistant GM there from Brandon there, Kelly McCrimmon and George are similar in personalities to us. So I'm curious to see if they have the same similar thing play out in player decisions and strategy. Or after reading my book, which they both did, they told me they decided that I was wrong and they move in a different direction. We'll have to wait and see.
Tom Lynn is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Tom is a player agent with Veritas Hockey, also former assistant general manager of the Minnesota Wild. Tom, you were there, of course, from the outset of the Minnesota Wild, as Dave just alluded to. You wrote a book about it. What are Kelly McCrimmon, what are George McPhee doing right now? Maybe not right this second, but you're now about, let's say 6 months away from the expansion draft, give or take. What's the day-to-day sort of process that you expect or you suspect these guys are going through?
Well, they have a greater array of analytics to choose from, so that might change their day. But we spent a lot of the days this time of year, as I was just coming on board at that time, the scouting was going on. So actually eyes in the rink, seeing the kids play for the amateur draft especially, because we knew that's where our future lay. Seeing the kids play for the amateur draft and the pros play, I would say this time of year you're trying to focus on goaltending because you got to have goaltending in order to be legit in the NHL. So they want to know their picks there in order. And then they start to think more about what teams may protect or not. It's wasted time to think about it too much earlier in the season. But once you get to the Christmas trade deadline, you get through it, now you can see who has expansion problems, who's going to have to expose people, who's not. So I think they're probably doing as much analyzing of rosters as they are of scouting, and the analytics guys they've hired are able to give them more information than we were able to glean from our cut-and-paste days back in 2000.
Tom, we were talking about this earlier in the show, 2018 Winter Olympics, and whether the NHL is going to participate in those Olympics. The Board of Governors meetings are happening right now in Florida, and it seems like it's up in the air whether the NHL is going to let its players go to South Korea. I guess, what is your take on NHL's participating in Olympics? Do you think that they need to participate in the Olympics? And what did you think of the NHL kind of using the extension of the CBA as kind of a bargaining chip on whether or not they were going to let their players participate?
Yeah, those are good but separate questions. Let me address the latter one first. So the NHL stab extending the CBA was probably like when your friends grab you to leave the casino at 1 a.m. because it's closing and you're going out and you have $5 left. So you're like, let me just throw this on red before we go and just see if I win. So, of course, that didn't work out because it was a wild shot in the dark. But when it comes to the Olympics, it's such a complicated question because, there are people who are viscerally, feel like I want to go and people who are against it. Even the people for going have serious concerns about compressing the season, about payment, about protecting the players' futures and the team's assets. And people who are against going also realize that the growth of our sport in terms of revenue, we're selling out most of the games. There's TV contracts for far into the future in the U.S. and Canada. You can't sell more tickets, contracts, and sponsorships. I mean, you can sell a little bit more, but you're not going to sell 20% more in the next 2 years. So you got to find new revenue streams. So no one's entirely right on this issue. And what the commissioner and Don Fehr have to do is find the optimal road to go or not go. I think it ends up being going. No one thinks South Korea is making a difference in the NHL's bottom line short term, but China could down the road, and South Korea is probably important to keep hockey an important sport for the Chinese Winter Olympics. So that's my take on it. 3 minutes or less.
Tom, you made the transition from being with the team to an agency. Now you got Veritas up and running along with Jamie and Kyle. And so have you noticed the agency game, if you will, become easier as you've gotten into it more and more?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think two things. One, yes, it's easier for us personally because we're doing the same thing. We're seeing how to do things. We can do them better. So it's like I'm a five-year veteran now rather than a rookie. Mm-hmm. So in a personal sense, the agency game for us is to have greater intuition, experience, and knowledge of what's going to happen, who's going to necessarily maybe choose us as agents or succeed as our players, and how to guide them through college or junior. On the flip side, I think the internet and the availability of information to people has made the agent game open to everyone. So that if we go into a rink, like I'm in Roseau, Minnesota right now, rural Roseau, you know, far from everything else in the world, but there'll be people calling themselves agents here to come to the rink because you can go on the internet and say you are. And so it's a weird game. It's probably like the fragmentation of a lot of businesses in our society. Instead of having 150 agents like there were 8 years ago, I think there are now 300 or 400 people calling themselves agents. So I hate to give you a sit-on-the-fence type answer, but it's a weird game right now with the internet. People find their own information as well.
Tom, we'll let you go on this last question. And I asked you this question already about a year ago when we had you last on the program, and it was about how the AHL team of an expansion franchise gets built. I was wondering if you could maybe run through that one more time with our audience who may have missed it or may have forgotten the answer, you know, when I asked it about a year ago or so, because I think that's almost as fascinating. Everybody knows about the expansion draft. Everybody knows about the, you know, the NHL draft. But I think it's almost as fascinating to see how a fresh NHL franchise builds an AHL franchise, you know, on a parallel track to their NHL team.
Sure. First of all, how do we get on the show more than once a year? Do I have to buy a sponsorship? Yeah. Like a list I got to put my name on? So hopefully you'll ask me this question again in about 3 months.
I can do that.
But that is a great question because I think it goes to the forming of a culture of your organization. Too many people have looked at expansion, and I look back at Ottawa and Tampa to a large degree here, as picking players. In expansion, you've got to look 5-7 years out. You're trying to start a relationship with your fans, not selling a ticket to a November 11th game in your first year. And so the culture you create is partly the players you pick, but it's also the coach of the minor league team, where you put your minor league team, how much attention you pay to them, what style of play they want. And so that's difficult with an expansion team because you don't have any draft picks yet. You'll acquire a few amateur players, and you'll draft some guys who are 18-year-olds, but most of them can't even play in the minor leagues for 2 years because of the CHL agreement. So you're going to have to populate your AHL team with two types of players generally. One is the grizzled 30-year-old AHL vet who's annoyed that three organizations didn't give him a chance in the NHL after he scored 30 goals twice in the AHL. And the second is what I'll call the Ante Lauksonen types that we took in Minnesota. But a player who's been knocking at the door of the NHL, maybe played 30 games here, 17 games there, but for 4 or 5 years. Now he's 26 or 27. He's a free agent. And so you're taking chances on him that he'll become an NHL player. The key to getting those guys is if you get too many bitter players in your AHL system or guys who are jaded, the young players that do come in won't be exposed to the right thing. If you don't get good enough players, meaning skill-wise and the rest, and your team is losing 8-1 on a regular basis, then the culture you're developing is one of losing. So it takes a good amount of strategy and a good feel for the game to say, all right, I want a team that has all the right elements and minimizes the negative elements, and I want a coach. We had Todd McClellan as the first coach of a minor league team, but you want a coach like Todd McClellan who's both a teacher and a guy who will hold the players accountable, because without accountability, your minor league team can turn into a slapshot 3 movie pretty quickly.
Tom Lynn is a player agent with Veritas Hockey. He's the former assistant general manager of the Minnesota Wild.
Tom, we're going to have you more often, by the way, because I'm going to start taking over the booking of guests from Drew.
Good. I want to broadcast from Earl's. That would be my one request.
Well, Tom, you know, I'll have no problems getting that done.
Yeah, Dave can swing that for you. I think he lives there half his time.
I've heard that.
Okay. Tom, thank you. Say hi to Kyle and Jamie for us, buddy.
My pleasure. Take care, gentlemen.
Take care, Tom. Tom Lynn, player agent from Veritas Hockey. Let's go to break. When we come back, Connor McDavid. He lost his mind a little bit Thursday night in Philadelphia. We talk about that next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
I did all I could defending him last year in the media. Everyone wanted to make a big deal saying he did it on purpose. And, you know, he wanted to say some comments today about what went on last year. And I thought it was one of the classless things I've ever seen on the ice. So he said some things, and our guys responded accordingly. And, I guess we can put the whole if he did it on purpose thing to rest, because, what he said out there kind of confirmed that. So, shows what kind of guy he is when he doesn't step up and fight some of our guys.
Connor McDavid laying down the gauntlet at the feet of Brandon Manning. Things got heated on Thursday night between the Oilers and the Flyers. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Ryan Belleville, his final night. Tickets available, rumorscomedyclub.com. And if you're looking for New Year's Eve plans, Rumors is a wonderful destination to laugh in 2017. So, for those who missed it, last season, Brandon Manning is who got tangled up with Connor McDavid, that resulted in McDavid breaking his collarbone, which cost him a significant portion of his rookie season, and of course cost him what many think would be the Calder Trophy. This was their first meeting since that time. Last year, McDavid sort of went out of his way, said, no, I don't think it was deliberate. Manning said, no, of course it wasn't deliberate. Well,
it wasn't deliberate.
Well, Connor McDavid saying that Brandon Manning said it was, or Connor McDavid seems to think it was deliberate. Now.
I don't think that Connor McDavid is saying that's what Brandon Manning said. I think it was more so that Brandon Manning was trash talking him and saying, "Well, you got injured last year, and you know, look what I'm going to do to you right now." Regardless, I think the big news here is that Connor McDavid is speaking to the media about it after. I have no problem with it. We complain about NHL players not saying anything to the media after games, and Connor McDavid here, Dave, is speaking his mind. And, you know, I realize that, you know, there's kind of this unwritten code that you shouldn't talk about what happens on the ice after the game, right? I think we'd all agree with that.
You know, if Connor McDavid wants to fire back in the media after a game, I'm fine with that.
No, but I'm saying that You're supposed to, you know, like when there's trash talking on the ice, you're supposed to kind of keep that on the ice, right?
Yeah,
and in this case, I think that's why people are reacting negatively to this, that, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, Connor McDavid's being a crybaby. I don't think so. I think Brandon Manning was all over Connor McDavid. The Oilers lost the game, and Connor McDavid was frustrated. He's 19 years old. You forget that. He's 19 years old, and you saw Wayne Gretzky yesterday at the Board of Governor meeting saying that, you know, Sidney Crosby went through this, Steven Stamkos went through this. All the top young players in the game eventually go through this, and, you know, Connor McDavid is frustrated. So just let a guy be frustrated.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it. I love it. I mean, I want to see, you know, we're all about the hate on this show. We're all about beef on this show.
Yep.
I want to see more hate. I want to see more beef. It's a shame that these guys will only play each other one more time this season, and by the time that comes along, probably it'll have dissipated to a fair degree.
Right.
I got no problems with it. I think it's terrific. I mean, I think Connor McDavid's making a pretty bold accusation, though, when he's saying that Brandon Manning says, you know, that, you know, he deliberately injured me.
Well, but
that's what McDavid said. I mean, the quote is, you know, is, I guess we can put the whole thing, if he did it, to rest, because he said out there, what he said out there kind of confirmed that he deliberately injured me.
Well,
that's
right,
what McDavid said,
but
more or
but
less
last
in his
year,
quote.
McDavid said after the injury that Brandon Manning didn't intentionally do it.
Well, so last year, maybe McDavid was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
After the game, Manning said, denied that he said anything.
Right.
Well, if Brandon Manning did in fact say that on the ice, then he's stupid.
But I don't. I mean, look. I mean,
it's a he said, he said. We'll never know if Brandon Manning fessed up to doing it on purpose. I think it's sort of difficult to do it on to deliberately injure,
yeah,
break somebody's collarbone.
If you watch the play, I mean, it was. They were both going.
It was a puck battle that ended
right,
poorly.
It was a puck battle, and they kind of both go into the boards. I don't necessarily know, even if he did say that. Again, I think it was one of those situations where Brandon Manning, if you'd watch the highlights of that game, was all in Connor McDavid's face.
Yeah.
And Connor McDavid does score in that game, by the way. They lose, but he was. I think it was one of those situations where a defenseman was all over him, and he was getting frustrated. In the heat of the moment, words were exchanged, and Brandon Manning was kind of saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, remember when I injured you last year?
Yeah.
You know, I don't buy that he actually meant, you know, I purposely injured you last year, and I knocked you out for half of the season.
100% is. I'm with you. I think it was, if anything, it was trash talk. It wasn't like an admission, like, oh, you remember that time I did that thing to you? Actually, it was on purpose. I really don't. I think it was heat of the moment. That's what happens in these games. Look,
you think Manning was saying, "Don't mess with me, kid. I'll break your collarbone again."
Yeah, sure. What something of that of the, along those lines? It's reasonable because we hear it all the time. And look, we're at these games. We hear things that are you know, picked up on the microphone sometimes. Like, you know, there was a funny thing with Dustin Byfuglien when he's behind the net.
Get out of here. You know, what game was that again?
Against the Oilers.
Yeah.
Picky. And he goes, get out of here. You know, so, but there's things that you get picked up on that you don't necessarily accept. We don't hear everything.
Sure.
But sometimes you
take
hear
it
these,
out of context.
Right. And I, or even, like I said, I don't think this is anything more than just simply a guy saying, this is what I did to you last year kind of thing. I mean, and I thought McDavid's response after the game was interesting. He's like, shows what kind of guy he is when he doesn't step up and fight some of our guys.
Well, some of our guys is what I have a problem with.
That's
in that
my whole
statement.
Point. I'm like, well, if you're so, like, why should you have to rely on, I get that you're not, your role isn't as a fighter.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting comment simply saying, well.
He's saying, I'm too chicken to fight you.
Basically, yeah.
He's saying, I noticed that comment. And, you know, and of course, the Oilers would be horrified to see Connor McDavid having a fight. But at the same time, the NHL is, you know, quote unquote, man's game. So if one guy has another beef with another guy, it's up to that guy.
It's like when you and Ezzy have beef. And
that's
you
right.
Guys just
no,
go at
when
it.
Me, when you and when Ezzy and I have beef, it's not like I'm going to fight you by proxy because I don't want to fight Ezzy.
Well, I don't know. If you try and fight Ezzy, you fight me as well.
Well, I understand.
Let's
you guys
be honest. Milan Lucic should be the guy dropping the gloves, but I don't think Brandon Manning wants to drop the gloves with Milan Lucic.
And that's what the Flyers would say is it's easy for you to talk, Connor McDavid. You have somebody else. You have Dave Semenko.
Obviously. You think Peter Chiarelli wants Connor McDavid to be fighting Brandon Manning?
No, but after the game, McDavid shouldn't have said that Manning is a wimp for not fighting Lucic.
Okay, and that's why I think this is getting all the attention. As far as, you know, McDavid saying that Brandon Manning admitted that, look at the play that happened last year. Connor McDavid is following through on the shot, and he falls, and then Brandon Manning follows him into the boards. Brandon Manning didn't purposely try to injure Connor McDavid. Just look at the play. I mean, it was a freak accident where he broke his collarbone. So I really think Brandon Manning got under his skin in that game, and Connor McDavid reacted after the game, and there's nothing wrong with that. He was upset. Hey. He was pissed off. Let's move on.
I agree. I think it's terrific. I got no problems with it all. I hope they hate each other for the next 10 years in each of their careers and fight every single time that they play each other. Doesn't bother me in the least bit. Best part of it, if you're a lip reader, you know, did you see what McDavid said to Manning after he scored the Oilers' second goal?
I don't think you can say
that
on the radio, Drew. Yeah.
I can't say it on the radio, but what I can say is, bleep you bleeping female dog. That's what he said to him. That's what he said to him right after scoring his second goal, or the Oilers' second goal.
He said, you bleeping.
I don't think he
female
said
dog.
He didn't say you bleeping, but I'm using the radio edit, as they say.
You,
but he turned to Brandon Manning, pretty much pointed at him and said, bleep you bleeping female dog.
Yeah, we heard you the first time, Drew. I think you could have just said that he said something that, you know,
you really wasn't
very nice.
Let's go to break. Pat Hickey of the Montreal Gazette joins us next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Third warm up.
The bottom of the hour has come and gone, but you're still listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We head out to Montreal, where Pat Hickey of the Montreal Gazette joins us. Pat, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys.
Pat, obviously brought you on to talk about the Habs, a very impressive start to the season for the Habs. And we won't see you here against the Jets until later on in the year. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Carey Price and his reaction to the goaltender interference, let's say, on Thursday night in New Jersey. He obviously laid the blocker into Kyle Palmieri a couple times, took a double minor for roughing as a result. Were you surprised to see Price lash out like that, or had you felt that his frustration with being contacted in the crease had been growing over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think I was a bit surprised because his demeanor is always so calm. But at the same time, I know that there was growing frustration over being run, not just in the game before that in St. Louis. Al Montoya was run 7 or 8 times. And I think that when the first goal they scored, there was a challenge because of goaltender interference, and it was obvious that Adam Henrique knocked Carey down in the crease. And then when the other one, you know, that was upheld, and then Carey, in fact, said that it should have been a good goal, which it was. And he said that, you know, the puck was in, but that there should have been a goaltender interference penalty after the goal went in. And then a couple of minutes later when Palmieri slid into him, and you have to remember that Carey has a history of problems with his knees. And so when he got taken out at the legs, he just sort of, you know, figured this is time, you know, to make a statement. And he got up. He hit Palmieri once in the head with his blocker. And then he, you know, decided to give him a couple of body shots. At the same time, Jeff Petrie was trying to pull Palmieri away because I think he was aware there was a possibility that Carey could get tossed from the game. He was trying to save him. And as you said, he ends up with a double minor. And Palmieri got a goaltender interference penalty, which I think was pretty well called after the fact. I don't think they were planning to call it, but I think that when Price responded the way he did, the referees felt they had to do something.
Pat, you've covered Lake Cadenas for many years for the Montreal Gazette, and you know the Montreal Canadiens made a lot of headlines in the offseason, trading PK Subban for Shea Weber, signing Alexander Radulov from Russia, and trading for Andrew Shaw. How have these three players changed not only the identity of this team but the outlook of this team?
Well, they've let's start off with the most controversial trade. Shea Weber for P.K. Subban, very unpopular trade here. P.K. was a larger-than-life figure here. He gave $9 million to the Children's Hospital, was arguably the face of the team, the public face of the team. I mean, he and Price were the two biggest stars on the team. And because of his personality, I think P.K. was, you know, was front and center a lot. So, you know, I think that, you know, people were understandably upset, but I think since then people have understood what Shea Weber brings to this team, a physical presence that wasn't there before. The idea was he was supposed to cut down on some of the running of the goaltenders. I'm not sure what that has happened, but he certainly played very well defensively. He's given them a better power play because he shoots the puck. He shoots a one-timer, which is something that PK didn't. A lot of times he had an exaggerated wind-up. He had a big shot, but a lot of times it was blocked because he didn't really move around a lot on the power play. There's a lot more movement now, and the power play has gone from being 23rd or 24th in the league to being in the top seven. So that's an improvement. Of course, Eddie Kuchmuller is an assistant coach, has helped in that respect as well. Second deal, Radulov, that was seen as a bit of a gamble because last year, you might recall, they brought in Alexander Semin. He just didn't work out. He wasn't in shape. You know, he just didn't, he wasn't fast enough. He couldn't keep up with the rest of the guys. This is a team that's built on speed, and he was just a bit too slow, and that turned out to be a bit of a disaster. Semin went back to Russia where he had a pretty good season. But so, I mean, there were immediate comparisons there. There were a couple of differences, though. One, Radulov, they brought him over here. It's a one-year contract like Semin for considerably more money. Semin was making $1 million. Radulov's making 5.75. What they did is they got a guy who was, you know, at 31, the second-leading all-time scorer in the KHL. So this is a guy that had a really good track record. He played here and played junior here in Quebec. There were problems when he was in Nashville, but the Canadians did their due diligence. They talked to people. They said that now that he's married and has a young child, you know, things have changed a lot. And certainly that's been the case so far. Radulov's been outstanding on and off the ice. Hard worker in practice, maybe the hardest worker on the team, and you see him, you know, just the desire and you know that he has when he's on the ice playing.
Pat, you wrote about the Canadiens likely standing pat with all the injuries they've suffered of late and at center. So, do you think that they'll just weather this storm with the players they've been able to bring up?
I don't. You know, I think that there's a possibility that you know they might. at some point bring up Michael McCarron, who you know, played pretty well last year when he was up, a big center, physical center. They didn't bring him up this past week when they had an opening on the roster because he had been injured. Now, I noticed he played last night for the St. John's Ice Caps, scored a goal, so I think he might come up. You know, there's just really no there's no upside to bringing another player in. It would disrupt the salary cap. You know, unless you would find somebody who'd be willing to take a basket of you know, unproven AHL players, you know, you're just not going to do anything. Particularly at this time of year, teams are still trying to figure out whether they're going to be buyers or sellers going down the road, and there just aren't a lot of players out there on the market.
Pat Hickey, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Pat covers the Montreal Canadiens for the Montreal Gazette. Pat, Max Pacioretty was off to a pretty slow start. He only had 5 goals after his first 23 games. He's picked it up a little bit in the last little while. And then the news broke recently that it seems like he was playing the month of November with a broken foot. Are you surprised that he would play through a broken foot, given how significantly he was struggling?
Yeah, actually, it was a hairline fracture in the ankle. And I guess he talked to some medical people. They said that, you know, if you can handle the pain, then, you know, you're not going to make it worse. And, you know, eventually it will get better, and it did. And you know, he just decided he was going to play through it. Now, several people, including myself, asked him at various times whether he was injured, and he got very upset at the question. And it wasn't until the other night that finally, you know, the coach confirmed that he had been playing with this injury. And but since then, the last 3 games, he's had 3 goals. And but more importantly, that he's getting more chances, and it looks like he's back to the form. This is a guy who should be a 30-goal scorer, and it looks like he's back to that form. Mm-hmm.
Now, Pat, I wanted to ask you about Paul Byron. I've seen him play over the years, a very fast skater. He's 27 years old, was drafted 179th overall by the Buffalo Sabres, kind of bounced around from the AHL to the NHL, but he's got 8 goals this year, 15 points in 27 games for the Montreal Canadiens. How big of a nice surprise has he been for Michel Therrien and the Habs, and how important is his contribution going to be with guys like Alex Galchenyuk and David Desharnais out of the lineup?
Yeah, I think that his contribution has been immense. The thing that's amazing about Byron is he's listed as 5'9 and 160. He's under 160 pounds. But you'd never know it by the way he plays, because he plays big. He doesn't get knocked down a lot. He's strong on his skates. He points out the fact he's been playing contact sports all his life. In addition to hockey, he's played a lot of rugby. And he just seems to enjoy contact. And he does have this incredible speed. I mean, I've seen him at least twice this year run down pucks that you thought for sure were icing. He's had a couple of breakaways, and he scored in a shootout. He does pretty much everything. He's got good hands. You know, and somebody described him to Russ Cortinel, who played for the Canadiens years ago. But Cortinel had great speed, but he had no hands. He had no finish, and that's the difference with Byron. He can finish when he gets on a breakaway.
So Pat, we talked about the Olympics on today's show a little bit, and you wrote in the Montreal Gazette about the bottom line, which I feel as well will decide whether the NHL decides to go. What's your gut feeling? Do you think that the NHL will in fact end up in South Korea?
I don't think so. Don't think so. Just the way you know, I think in the back of his mind, that Gary Bettman would like to see them go there, but I think there's so much opposition among the owners, and they're the guys who call the shots. And you know, the fact that they didn't have a vote at this recent NHL Board of Governors meetings, they don't have a vote until Gary Bettman knows it's going to go his way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the reasons why they didn't vote on it. He's still trying to convince these owners that they should go there. But I think that, you know, owners are tired. They're afraid of injuries. They don't like disrupting the season. You know, right after the Super Bowl, that's when the playoff races are starting to heat up, and that's when interest gets up there and you don't have competition for the NFL, and all of a sudden you shut down for 2 weeks. And I think, you know, that's going to be a big factor. There's no revenue coming in from the Olympics. You know, you're not getting any money out of it. And, you know, it's different in the World Cup. You know, not the owners have got some money. All of the players, even not even just the players who were playing in it. Every player in the NHL got money from that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, that's a far more attractive venture. I think they would like to see something like the you know, World Cup of Soccer eventually, and you know, make a big deal of make that the you know, the major event. And then, you know, if there's still going to be Olympics, Olympic hockey, then figure out whether it's going to be an under 23 tournament, maybe juniors, something along those lines. But I can't see the NHL, particularly since the next two are in Asia, and you know, you're going to have fans back in North America watching games at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just not a good situation.
Pat, we'll let you go on this last question. We spoke about Radulov and we spoke about Shea Weber. The other big offseason acquisition was Andrew Shaw coming over from the Chicago Blackhawks. A couple times this year we've sort of seen him get a little unhinged on the ice, something that Andrew Shaw is sort of known for, being the agitator that he is. Have the Habs been happy with the performance of Andrew Shaw, and have they been happy with sort of that gritty element he's brought to the team, something the organization supposedly felt was lacking last season?
Yeah, I think they've been a lot happier in the last couple of weeks, and I think that, you know, the organization and Andrew Shaw are getting on the same page. I think in the beginning, you know, any time you bring a new player in and he's used to one system, he's got to make some adjustments. I mean, everybody, it's hockey. Everybody plays hockey. But, you know, his role in Montreal here is a little different than his role in Chicago. He played a lot of center there. He's playing a lot of wing here. So there were a lot of, you know, situations where he had to make adjustments. But, you know, you're in a situation, you know, in the beginning of the year, he had one incident, borderline possible suspension. He got away without one. But he had to sit down with Stephane Cantel. He did get suspended during the preseason. Mm-hmm. But he had to sit down with Stephane Cantel, and another one with Marc Bergevin, the general manager, just explaining to him that there's a line, and he can skate on that line, but he can't cross it. And I think what happened for the next month is that he was a little gun shy. He didn't want to step over that line. He was being so careful that he lost some of his effectiveness. But I think in the last couple of weeks, he's understood where he can go, where he can't, and he's become a more productive player, a more efficient player, and the Canadians are very happy with what he's giving them now.
Pat Hickey covers the Montreal Canadiens for the Montreal Gazette. Pat, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Anytime, guys.
Take care, Pat. Appreciate it. Let's go to break. We have one final segment coming up. It's going to be a doozy. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
The Flames have hit the ice in Calgary. The Jets and the Flames, 9 o'clock tonight. Word out of Calgary, courtesy Wes Gilbertson of the Calgary Post Media, I guess the Calgary Herald there. Chris Versteeg likely not to go today for the Flames' upper body injuries. So it's expected that no Chris Versteeg for the Flames. Jets will hit the ice in about 40 minutes' time. We'll have all the latest for you on IllegalCurve.com. And, of course, Hustler and Lawless get our game day coverage underway starting at, I believe it's 5 o'clock tonight, if I'm not mistaken, is when they take to the airwaves, either 5 or 6. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, and, Drew, that Chris Versteeg injury is significant because, you know, you think of the Flames and you think of Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan and Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk, but if you remember back over the years, Chris Versteeg has been a Jets killer.
Yeah.
Over the years. So, you know, not having him in the lineup, he's, you know, providing secondary scoring for the Calgary Flames. So, you know, that's you know, more significant than you might think. Christopher Stieg's been playing pretty well for Calgary.
Yeah, so we will have the latest on all that coming up later today on the station and on illegalcurve.com.
You know, I wanted to mention, by the way, you mentioned, you know, when you did the rumors read, that Ryan Belleville. is performing at Rumors tonight. Our good friend Benji Rothman's actually opening for him tonight.
Oh, there you go. So you can go check out Benji, as he's the host and MC tonight at Rumors.
Yeah, shout out to Benji.
Benji is the one who has been the fake Drew Mandel on the show on a couple different occasions.
Yeah, and I actually think the fake Drew is better than the
better
real
than
Drew.
Better than the real Drew, yes. Clearly better than the real Drew. I'm not sure. I don't think we could do a fake Ezzy, though. You know, there's only one Ezzy.
No.
Can't be a fake Ezzy, because really the real Ezzy isn't real. You would think that the real Ezzy is a fake. So, you know, it's sort of hard to, you know, square a fake Ezzy with
There's nobody out there that is as crazy and demented as I am, so I don't think anybody can pull that off.
And as a society, I think we're comfortable in only having one of you and not any more than that. Should mention the Moose game. Moose and the Cleveland Monsters, they're going to do battle later this afternoon here on TSN 1290. Coverage coming up in about an hour and 45 minutes after we get off the air. 1:45, puck drop, 2 p.m., Mitch Peacock with the call. You were there last night, Dave, you know, to see Kyle Connor, his birthday debut for the Manitoba Moose. How did he look playing alongside Jack Roslovic?
He looked good. He looked good. They played the first two periods together. Coach broke them up to start the third. They did get a couple of more shifts together throughout that period. But for the most part, I thought, you know, he's got speed. He's got vision. He'll really thrive playing. I mean, he was playing in all roles. He had power play time. He had he was playing 4-on-4. Like, literally, it's what everybody has said he needed, right, is being used in all situations. Set up Roslovic for his team-leading eighth goal of the season. So it was a good debut for Kyle Connor, without question. You know, it was interesting because, you know, could you imagine, like, you go from being on an AHL team to AHL on your birthday? It's, you know, but it was inevitable. It was almost like it was feeling like it was going to happen. Well, you know, for it should have happened earlier.
Well, when it happened yesterday, when they finally came out and said they were sending him down to the AHL, I mean, I tweeted it. You know, tweets that, you know, from press releases that should have happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the day before, Coach Maurice had said something like, "Well, we've got a plan, but you know, the Moose have a 10-day off sort of situation." So I was like, "Okay, well, then why?" Are they still the next day they decided to send him, regardless of the rationale or the reasons. Mm-hmm. I assume maybe that meant Nick Petan was coming back fairly soon and that they wanted to make room for Nick Petan. But it doesn't really matter. The fact is that, you know, putting him with the Moose is the right move. The Moose themselves didn't have a great game. Eric Comrie had a very rare game off. Like, he was not good.
They lost 5-1 last night.
5-1.
Cleveland, of course, the defending Calder Cup champions.
Yeah, but the Moose beat them, I believe, both games earlier in the season when they played here in Manitoba.
Okay.
So they've already played them twice, and that was the third game, I believe, of the season between the two teams. And, you know, the Moose just didn't have it yesterday. They didn't play well. Coach Vincent didn't really mince words after the game. He said that, you know, like, we didn't win the battles, and, you know, you can't win a game. You know, and it's interesting because it's so different from NHL hockey because there's these big lulls. So the Moose have been playing particularly well. They, you know, I think they've had won before yesterday, 4 of 5. Mm-hmm. And then you have a 1 week lull. And it's like, I kept writing every day in the morning papers. It was like, okay, the Moose are practicing again. The Moose are like, it was just
it's hard to keep the, you want to keep the, you want to play because you want to keep your momentum,
that's right.
momentum going.
Well, it's hard to keep the momentum going between, you know, as like from a Monday, like you win on Saturday or Sunday, and then you're not playing until Friday. So how do you keep that momentum going when you have 4 days of practice?
It's very difficult to do so. 2 o'clock, the Moose game. Reminder, it is the teddy bear toss game. So please bring a gently used or new plush toy to the MTS Center.
And that'll
tonight.
Take place at the first intermission.
At the first intermission, you'll be encouraged to throw your teddy bear on the ice. It's all in support of the Christmas cheer board. So it's certainly a good cause and everything else. You know, if you're heading, looking for something to do this afternoon, head to the Moose game, bring a teddy bear. It goes to a good cause at the time in the holiday season. Should mention the Calgary Flames. Chad Johnson going to be in goal for the Flames tonight. He's the scheduled starter, according to the Flames website. So Chad Johnson, he of the sub 2.00 goals against average, will be in the Flames net. Like I said, Jets hit the ice in about 35 minutes' time. We'll have a better idea about the Winnipeg Jets lineup. I'd expect the forward and the defense to stay pretty much stand pat in terms of the players participating, It'll be interesting to see if they go with Connor Hellebuyck or if they go with Michael Hutchinson in net for the Jets tonight.
Yeah, these are two big games. They got to come back from Alberta with 4 points.
You know, and it's sort of hard to believe. You know, I agree with you because as we spoke about, you know, 3 hours ago when we started the show, they have to feel as though they left points on the table in the losses to Detroit and the losses to New York, and where it should have been, you know, the back-to-back wins last weekend, where it could have easily been 7 or 8 out of 8 points in the last 4 games. It's only 5 out of 8 points, and that has to be disappointing to the Jets. And you, from a fan perspective, would hope maybe the results on Thursday night leave a bit of a sour taste in their mouth as they're heading out for this is really the end of the tremendous. This is the end of where we can talk about the schedule.
Right.
It ends tomorrow night. It's been a little bit annoying for the last, you know, number of weeks. It's been a little much, but it ends tonight and tomorrow night because that's it. After that, things really slow down and you're back to quote unquote the normal NHL schedule.
Yeah, you have 3 days off next week, but you know, just going back to these two games, I mean, it's not going to be easy with the way Calgary's playing. They've won 5 games in a row, but. They got to find a way. They did it last weekend in St. Louis and in Chicago. So you got to find a way to get some wins here because, you know, those last 2 games at home were very disappointing. So, you know, hopefully they can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your point is exactly right. You know that they can win on the road. They put themselves behind the eight ball, and then they have to go on the road in St. Louis and Chicago. Then they put themselves behind the eight ball again this week with their performance at home. Now you have to see if they can match it again on the road in Calgary and in Edmonton. That's it for this Saturday morning in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Big thanks to Paul Edmonds, George Johnson, Tom Lynn, and Pat Hickey for joining us. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on iTunes. It'll also be available on our website, IllegalCurve.com. You can follow us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Jets and Moose news is IllegalCurve.com. Big props to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Big, great job to producer Rory behind the board doing a great job. For Dave Minuke, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for Manitoba Moose Hockey on TSN 1290.